Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. I've asked Lynn to stay here for this moment because we have a very exciting announcement in regards to Lynn and Craig's life. During the week, Lynn has been accepted as a candidate for Minister of the Word, which is So that's a really big deal. If you don't understand that, what that means is she's in the process of ordination process to be set apart as a minister of a church. So significant change in both of your lives. Where is Craig? Hiding.
He's hiding over there.
Someone's pointing me. He's over there too. So wonderful. We are delighted for you. And we affirm God's calling on your life. And we look forward to being part of the journey as you head towards ordination and then eventually placed, sadly, away from here in another church, I'm assuming. So it's good, though. It's great news. And I encourage you to talk to Lynn afterwards. Encourage you to encourage her, to pray for her, to bring her before the Lord as she embarks on this significant process in her life and in the life of the wider Uniting Church in South Australia. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you continue to set apart men and women for your work. We thank you that you've now affirmed this gift that Lynn has. We pray, Lord Jesus, that she could be drawn closer to you as she discerns particularly what your call is, that you would give her wisdom and understanding, that you would help her as she studies and prepares, that you would bring to her mind particular things that she needs to know, and that you would prepare her for the years of service ahead. We pray for her, for Craig, and for their family. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, Lynn. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jonathan, and last week I started with a joke. I know this week you'd be disappointed if I didn't, so I have one. You look very taken back by that, but that's all right. I'm going to carry on regardless. It's not me, okay? I'm in a third person. I just made that really clear, okay? There I was, sitting at the bar, staring at my drink, when a large troublemaking biker steps up next to me, grabs my drink, gulps it down in one swig. What you gonna do about that? He says, as I immediately burst into tears. I haven't got to the end of the joke, hang on. Come on, man, the biker says, I don't like to see a man cry. Stop it. Well, this is the worst day of my life, I said. I'm a complete failure. I was late for a meeting, my boss fired me. When I went to the parking lot, I found someone had broken in and stolen my car. On the way home, I left my wallet in the cab. I found my wife with another man, and then my dog bit me. So I came to this bar to work up the courage to put an end to it. I buy a drink, I drop a capsule of poison into it, I'm watching it dissolve, and you drink it! But enough about me, how's your day going? Oh, finally I've got Seeds Church to laugh. It's great. Any jokes gratefully appreciated. Well, last week we began a two-part series on 1 Samuel. And today we round off and we move in a little bit into 1 Samuel chapter 2. And if you missed the very beginning of this service, we read Hannah's prayer, Hannah's thanksgiving theology. As she responds to what God has done in her life. And I encourage you to read it during the week. It's a beautiful theology. Encapsulates a lot about who God is. The roadmap so far is a bit like this. Hannah was the leading lady of chapter 1, and she's married to Elkanah. Elkanah is also married to Penaniah. And the problem is that we found out that Penaniah has many children, and Hannah has none and desperately wants some. In fact, this was incredibly upsetting for her and causing her great grief, not helped, of course, by the polygamous relationship she was in and the cruel comments of her husband's other wife, if you can get your head around that triangulation. The ground we covered last week also looks a bit like this. Hannah had a problem, a big problem. And the problem was so big that it had the possibility to overwhelm her. We too have problems, and some of them are life-threatening. Where did Hannah go with her needs? Where do we go with our problems? She went before the Lord, and she poured out her heart towards Him. And so it's an indicator to us that we are to emulate her actions. We are to model what she did. She is an example for us to follow, because we too can be assured that our Lord listens. And we know that as we see it in the face of Jesus. We can be assured that he gets where we are at. He understands our life. Don't believe me? Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, that's the great priest, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Amen. So we bring our issues, we bring our needs before Jesus. Today, I want to call this sermon remarkable, and I'm going to explain why I'm saying this is remarkable. If you've got your Bibles, you want to open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and or a phone or tablet or whatever you like, that's fine. We pick up the story with Hannah and Elkanah and their entourage, this whole family, heading back from worshipping at Shiloh. They'd finished their annual worship and they were ready to resume their normal life. Now the Bible tells us a really interesting fact, one that's really important, or so it seems if you want to have kids. Elkanah and Hannah get together. The old language for that is they knew each other. Okay, you read between the lines there. I'm sure you know what it means. And the incredible happens. The miracle happens. God remembers Hannah. In other words, God is paying attention to her cry, and the time was right for him to act, and he does act, just like she asked for in this prayer. And in due course, we find the great news that they need to have a baby shower, because it was all going to happen. Verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord of him." But we need to sit with that point just for a little bit longer, because there's some more information there. There's something in verse 19 that I skipped over. It's this. Sometimes when you ask God to help you, you actually have to do the obvious. You have to play your part too. And I say that because a lot of people try and will expect God just to bail them out of a problem without any effort on their behalf. Now, I think probably pretty rightly so that Hannah and Elkanah knew where babies come from. I'm really sure. I mean, Elkanah, bit thick as the blokes go, probably maybe like most of us, let's be honest, with all his faults, did have children from another wife. So he knew how the biology of what was going on here really was outplaying. And I'm sure they're intelligent people and not just waiting for the ancient Near Eastern version of a stork to deliver the kid into their tent or wherever they left. But there's a point here. And the point is this. Biology aside, sometimes we are not so sharp on these things. I'm not talking about making babies, but I'm talking about all of life, how God interacts with our life, how God works in life. What we have in our relationship with God is this incredible to-ing and fro-ing between us and God. This give and take, this connection, it's actually called a relationship. Surprise, surprise. There's this partnership with God that often we don't work into. Now, I know this comes as a surprise to some of us, but God actually expects us to play our part. God actually expects us to be involved. And it even means that sometimes we're going to have to get a sweat up. And even if we get dirty, and sometimes we're going to be put out as a solution to our issues and our problems. God is not just some little genie in a bottle, our instantaneous problem solver. And contrary to popular belief, God is not just there to make us ecstatically happy. God's actually in the business of holiness and creating you into something different. So here's an example, a bit of a sad example of what I'm talking about. A very religious man was caught once in rising floodwaters. He climbed onto the roof of his house and he prayed and he trusted God that he would be rescued. A neighbor came by who happened to have a canoe and he said, "Hop in the canoe because soon the floodwater is going to go up the top of your house and you're going to drown." He said, No, thanks. I'm waiting for God to rescue me." Short time later, the policeman came by in a boat. "The waters will soon be above your house," he says, "and why don't you hop in the boat and I'll take you to safety." He said, No, I'm waiting for God to rescue me." Helicopter came by. The waters are getting right up to the top of the house. Helicopter came by and he said, the helicopter let down a ladder and shouted out down the megaphone, "Climb up and we'll take you to safety." "No, it's fine, thanks. I'm waiting for God to rescue me." And a few minutes later, the floodwaters came up and the man drowned. He gets before the throne of grace. He says, "God, I've got an issue with you. I prayed and asked for you to rescue me. And God said, I heard you. And I sent a canoe and a boat and a helicopter." You see, there's a salient point for us in this. God expects his people to play their part. And I once read, and I'll never forget it, opportunity comes dressed in overalls. God is in the holiness business, and that's what he wants to do with us, with you. And he invites you, says, don't be a passenger. Be connected. Come on, let's do this. But let me change this. Let me get to two points that I want to make about remarkable. The first is found in the latter part of verse 19 and 20, and I've read it to you before. The Lord remembered her, so in course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Why is this remarkable? Well, anybody who's ever been present at a birth would know why that's remarkable. I mean, to be there and to see your children born is something quite outstanding, isn't it? It's quite extraordinary. But the Lord heard Hannah. Here was this woman who had her womb closed, and he heard her, and he answered her cry. That's truly remarkable. I mean, think about it just for a minute, will you? What did God owe Hannah to grant that request? What did Hannah do to deserve any favor? Absolutely nothing. We might be tempted to think, well, Hannah offered to give Samuel to the Lord for his service all these days, but so what? Who brings forth life in the first place? I mean, did God need Hannah to do that? Of course not. Who made the stars? Who made the universe? Who made all those living things? There was nothing Hannah could give to the Lord to make him do this. Yet, through his grace and his love and his compassion, he gives Hannah this most remarkable gift. And this is the God we worship, isn't it? This is the one who graciously, lovingly provides for us over and over again. How often we fail to recognize the gifts we get from God, gifts of love and friendship that come to us all the time, gifts that come from him but through others, gifts of nurture and support, gifts of affection and patience and understanding. Do you see just how much God has provided for us? And Hannah clearly knows that this is a gift from God. Verse 25, if you read with me. "When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, 'Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him.'" Even in his name, and there's lots of things that can be said about the etymology of his name, but even in his name, Samuel's name is given because she asked the Lord for him. God gave her what she asked. Out of her grief and sorrow came rejoice. My friends, we have a remarkable God who out of his abundance and generosity and all things good provides for us over and over again. And today, as I do every Sunday, I point you towards him. And I hold him up before you and I say, he is the only one who can provide everything for you. He is the only one who will never let you down. The second point. Because we have remarkable examples of faith. Verse 21. "When her husband Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Hannah fulfills her vow to the Lord. She fulfills her commitment to the Lord, and she makes a great sacrifice. Not a bull, although that went there as well. Not a goat, but a son. Not only do we have remarkable God, but we have remarkable people whom God inspires. Hannah makes good on her promise, and she does what she says. She takes her beloved, her one and only son, and gives him for the Lord's service. She hands him over so that God can use him. Her long-awaited, her answer to her grief child, she now brings to Eli the priest as service before the Lord and lays him there. Can you imagine that? Verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So I now give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. What an incredible person to do that. How extraordinary that act of faith. And even more so when you notice the context of what's going on. I mean, you see the sons of Eli, the priest, they were just running amok. They were doing terrible things. And yet this woman has faith to go, I trust him to the Lord. And I put him in the Lord's hands. And he's safe there. Hannah's story doesn't end there. For if we go to the end of chapter 2, we find that there is fulfillment for her. Chapter 2, verse 20, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Hannah's dependence upon God was realized, and her sacrifice, handing over of this one precious son that she has, changed the face of that nation and set that nation up on a course in order for the Redeemer to come. Now here's the wrap-up of these two stories that I've been talking about, part A and part B. God is looking for people, and I dare say churches. Remember, the scriptures are written into context. They're written often in a community for a community. Okay, so God is looking for people and for churches who are aware of their dependence upon him. Big point. We have to keep reiterating and re-understanding their dependence upon God. And more specifically, that unless God shows up, we are all forsaken. This, my friends, is the truth of life, but it's not just a blind faith. We're not just talking about pie in the sky until we die. We're not just talking about, God, when you finish, turn the light off sort of stuff, that you do your business. It's involving us. And just like the story of Hannah, sometimes it involves great sacrifice for us as well. And today's narrative teaches us of what a full dependence upon God looks like, and also our part in this as well, our involvement as part of God's plans. And we do serve a remarkable God, but what is remarkable is that God actually wants to share with us in what he's doing in this world. And so here's the application for us, okay? Here's where I bring it home for you to take something home. God is not just sending a few thousand angels to communicate the gospel to the world. He actually didn't do that. Apart from turning up on the night of Jesus' birth, angels have been pretty scarce. He hasn't usurped what's going on. He didn't send a big sort of love bomb onto the earth and spread his grace and mercy around all the earth. He hasn't written a big, huge banner in the sky saying, hello, I'm here. You know what he's chosen? He's chosen us. All of us. And he's got a name for it. He calls it his church. That is what we are. And we are his vehicle of work in this world. It's something far more remarkable than a group of angels. Far more remarkable than a sign in the sky. It's his living creations. All of us. Each and every one of us. In all our brokenness, in all our sin, with all our issues, with all our dysfunction, he still wants to use us. He wants us to partner with him in this gospel proclamation, in this gospel living out, in this life that he wants to redeem this world that he loves so much. What's remarkable is that he wants us to be involved. A remarkable God inviting remarkable people on a remarkable mission. And this is not just for Bible college graduates or seminary or people, the Christian superheroes amongst us. It's for all of us. And even if it's our first time hearing this, this is still for us too. Here we are pointing towards a meta-narrative of life, significance of life, purpose of life that goes beyond, you know, what you can eat and what you can drink and what you can earn and what you can own. It's for all of us. Those who go to those same old deadbeat jobs, and I've got a good job, but those deadbeat jobs every day after day after day in order to pay the rent. It's for those of us who go to offices, different sorts of factories, those of us who go into shared spaces and have to live and work in those sorts of things, those of us who are entrepreneurs and trying to make money, you know, in the best way we can, those of us who go to unis or schools, those of us who stay at home or work as a reception, or those of us who volunteers, it's for everybody. It's for every single one of us. God is actively seeking your effort, and what's remarkable, he wants you. And if I had time, I'd call out all your names and I'd say he wants you. He wants all of us to be involved in this mission. He wants all of us to be connected with what he's doing in this world. He wants your effort. He wants you as he releases his grace and his invitation on those who don't know about this great hope that we have. For all those who are broken, for all those lost, for those hurting, for all those pushed aside, for all those who've been beaten down and pushed out and who just don't understand where hope comes from. He wants us. And so the work of the gospel includes you. So this story in the life of Hannah and in the genesis of the life of Samuel tells me that all of us have a place in what God is up to. And that sometimes our problems are the solution to a whole bigger issue that we had no idea about. Sometimes God uses our problems for his glory. May the story here inspire us to live and to move in the grace in which he's given us. Amen.